Hey guys, it's Zara at the mic, and welcome to the fifth episode of Global Groove, the show where politics gets spicy beyond the West. I'm here to talk about the big moves, the small wins, and everything in between, from the streets of Sao Paulo to the corridors of Beijing. That's right, forget the usual political snooze fest. I'm diving into the stories you won't find in your typical Western headlines. If you're new here, go check out my first podcast I made with Soliana that gives a quick and simple history of everything that happened in Mozambique leading up to the elections and protests. For the others who have already listened to it, welcome back. Glad you're here. All you have to do is just buckle up and enjoy the ride. Last week on Global Groove, things got wild in Mozambique. Venancio Mondlane fired up protesters with suspiciously perfect election results, sparking clashes with the police and leaving over 400 dead. The Constitutional Court stepped in, knocking down Chapo's win from 71% to 65%, adding fuel to the fire. Chapo tried to calm things down with a peace speech, but the tension's still thick. Now even kids are feeling the political divide. Today, we're talking prison breaks, protests, and a whole lot of political drama that could seriously be a Netflix series. So grab your snacks, sit back, and let's dive into this crazy story. Okay, first up, over 1,500 prisoners managed to escape from a prison in Maputo, the capital of Mozambique. And no, this isn't something out of a movie, this actually happened. A bunch of anti-government protesters came to stir things up, and things escalated quickly. They managed to knock down a wall at the prison and boom, over 1,500 inmates are out on the loose. Now, hold on, this wasn't just a bunch of petty criminals. Among the escapees were 29 convicted terrorists. Yep, you heard that right. Some serious bad guys are roaming free now. The guards were overrun, some prisoners grabbed weapons, and it turned into full-on chaos. But wait, there's more. While all of this was happening, Venancio Mondlane, the opposition leader who's been in self-imposed exile and totally off the radar for a while, decided it's time for his dramatic return. When I say dramatic, I mean it. The man landed in Maputo with his Bible in hand, got down on his knees, and declared himself the rightful president of Mozambique. Cue the dramatic music. He was greeted by thousands of his supporters who are all in on the idea that he won the elections and that Daniel Chapo's presidency isn't legit. And just like that, the drama went to another level. Now, let's talk about this election mess for a second. Mondlane had been in exile for months after fleeing the country in fear for his life. Reminder, two of his aides were shot dead in the chaos, which, let's be real, is seriously intense. But despite all the danger, he came back to take a stand. The country's elections last October were a total disaster. So when Mondlane came to the airport, he didn't just come back as a politician. He came back as a symbol of resistance. If you think that was the peak of the drama, you'd be wrong. Mondlane's return only added more fuel to the fire. Protesters flooded the streets, clashes with police broke out, and the whole country is on edge. The tension's palpable, like everyone's holding their breath, waiting to see what happens next. Will Mondlane ever get the chance to lead? Will Chapo secure his spot in presidency? Is Mozambique headed for a full-scale showdown? Only time will tell, but one thing's for sure, this story is far from over. Now, just to wrap things up, let's talk about how this political chaos is affecting the everyday people in Mozambique. We're talking school kids, families, and communities. This isn't just about politicians anymore. People are feeling the pressure and everyone's waiting to see if this country can pull itself together. Here's an interview I had with Ntanzi, a student in the Mozambican French school, Gustave Eiffel. Hey Ntanzi, let me ask you a few questions about Mozambique. How have the recent protests and political tensions affected your daily life, both at school and at home?
So the recent protests have, not drastically, but have taken a toll on my daily life and on my school life. For a while, we were doing online school. because our school was closed. Not only my school, but most schools were closed because lots of workers weren't able to get transport to get to school. So therefore, our school closed. I mean, it didn't really affect my daily life because in Mozambique, depending on the people you hang out with, certain things that concern more the 99% don't really reach the 1%. And I say this not with a big head. I am part of the 1% and many of my friends are. So I didn't really feel the consequences of these protests because I live in a bubble, right? And that's something I'm not proud of saying because it's something that shouldn't be said and something you shouldn't be proud of saying. But I have to face the reality that these protests didn't affect me personally, but they affected many things that I did see in the country.
Have you noticed any discussions about politics in your school? How do students and teachers talk about the protests and the government?
I have participated in many discussions about politics in my school. I would tell you that they don't really end up well. Just to clarify, the discussions are only in between students. Most teachers are European and don't know what they're talking about. So the discussions are mostly in between students. Some are agree with the reasons of why the protests are happening. Some others don't really agree why the protests are happening. It's a mix of opinions, right? But I noticed something that people aren't able to meet each other halfway. What I mean by that is, you know, when they're expressing their opinion, they get too emotional and they start saying stuff and they can't come to an agreement. So they start disrespecting each other's opinions. I don't know if you get what I mean. And then that can lead to big arguments, and the arguments can lead to something that has nothing to do of what the topic is. Personally, I would say that majority of people in my school, or the ones I've spoken to about the protests, are in Venancio's favor, right? Because they're saying that Frelimo has been, you know, stealing from the Mozambican people for the past 50 years, and Frelimo hasn't done anything for the Mozambican people. But I will say, and this is my opinion, most of these people that are talking and are saying these things aren't really into politics. They're talking from an overview. I don't know if you get what I mean. Most people that say these things don't really know exactly how politics work. I'm not saying that their opinion is wrong. There are some things that they're saying are right, you see. And that's a problem because when you think with your heart and not your mind, you will say some stuff that won't make any sense since, you know, it's what you're feeling and not what you're thinking. When you say it, it makes sense. But then again, I understand that not everyone in their family, maybe politics is a taboo for them and they don't talk about it. So they don't really know how things work in the Mozambican government and who is who, what is what, and how things work. But yes, we have noticed.
Do you or your family feel safe during this period of unrest? Have there been any disruptions to business, transportation, or daily activities in your area?
And we don't really feel unsafe because, as I said, we live in a bubble, right? There are certain people in Mozambique, in Maputo to be specifically, that live in a bubble. So things that happen in between, you know, I'll say the 99% don't really touch us. And that may sound very snobby, very bratty, but it's the truth. My grandparents from my mom's side, they live in the countryside. There was a time where in the countryside, things were getting kind of bad, riots were getting even worse, and they got kind of scared, especially because my grandpa was a member of Frelimo. So he wasn't too scared, but my grandma got paranoid. So they came and stayed with us in the city for a while, but after when things calmed down, they went back home. But in general, my family and I, we're not really concerned for our safety. We are concerned for the future of our country, the future of businesses, of the economy. We're concerned about our country, but of our safety in general, we didn't really feel too unsafe. Now, many businesses, a lot of businesses were ruined from the vandalization of the protesters. And I find it truly appalling because many people lived off of those businesses. People fed their families. People paid rent. People paid salaries. People paid taxes with those businesses. And some crazy people that just decided to throw rocks and blow up everything, just ruin people's lives. And that's what I find unacceptable, honestly. Many businesses were ruined. People, it's very hard to start from scratch. People put 10, 15 years of work, of dedication into those businesses, and they were just ruined overnight, which I find truly appalling. I think that it's sad to see what's happening in Mozambique. Transportation for a very long time was really difficult in certain areas, in rural areas more specifically. And daily activities, everything stopped. So if you had any like after school activities, you couldn't go. If you had any activities in different schools or in a club, there was no way. Most of the people that work in those places weren't able to reach those places due to lack of transportation. The lack of transportation is what caused many things to stop, because if the people that make things work can't get to where they have to work, then nothing's going to work. I don't know if that makes sense. Transportation was just really, really hard to get access to. And if you had a car, then of course you can get yourself around. But if you use public transport, it wasn't too easy.
The protests, the prison break, and Mondlane's return are just pieces of a puzzle that could change the future of Mozambique. So there you have it. Prison breaks, political intrigue, drama returns, and a whole lot of tension. I'll be keeping an eye on this because, trust me, we haven't seen the craziest part yet. Stay tuned because things are about to get even wilder. As always, make sure to follow us for more updates. You can find us on Instagram at LFB Web Radio and hit up our website at www.radiolfb.net. And don't forget to share your thoughts. And let's keep this conversation rolling. Until next Monday. Keep that groove going, stay focused, stay curious, stay bold. And here's Redemption Song by Bob Marley and the Wailers to start your weekend off right.
Old pirates, yes, they rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to sing?